Hello and welcome to FX Talk, an eBury podcast all about the foreign exchange market, where we break down some of the main news headlines in financial markets and give our take on what these developments might mean for the world of FX. My name is Matthew Ryan, Head of Market Strategy here at eBury, and I'm joined as always on the podcast by two of my colleagues, our Chief Risk Officer, Enrique Diaz-Alvarez, and Senior Market Analyst, Roman Zuruk. Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of FX Talk. We have a very special episode for you today because we're going to cast our minds into the future and look ahead to some of the high-risk events that we could have in markets later in the year. 2024, of course, has been dubbed by some as the year of the elections. We have almost half the world's population set to go to the polls in some capacity this year, which could create a potentially very volatile environment for financial markets and, of course, for currencies. We're going to focus on three of those elections. Starting with the big one, the US presidential election, which will take place in November. This looks set to once again be another head-to-head tussle between current President Joe Biden and former President Donald Trump. At this stage, markets are very much in the dark as to who will come out on top, with polls, the bookmakers, markets effectively assigning a 50-50 shot as to which of these two will come out on top. We then, of course, add the uncertainty of Congress and which party will gain the House and the Senate. And that creates a potentially very uncertain environment for markets. We also have the UK election coming up. There's no set date yet for the pending general election in the UK, but it looks very likely to take place at some stage in the final quarter of this year, potentially in October. Unlike the US, this looks pretty much like a foregone conclusion, with the Labour Party comfortably ahead in the latest polls. While the outcome of the election is not exactly uncertain, there is a degree of ambiguity as to the possible sterling reaction, which we're going to talk about very shortly. But I want to start with the US election, which, as I mentioned, will be taking place in November, the 5th of November, for that matter. Again, as mentioned, the polls leading up to the vote are very close, around about 45% each for Biden and Trump. Well, Predictit, which is one of our favourite indicators that puts a probability on political events, that has Biden as favourite, albeit only slightly, at 52% to 45%. While the bookmakers, again, pretty much torn down the middle, 50-50. But what could we possibly see from this election? What are the potential implications from both a Trump or a Biden election victory? What do you guys think? What do you think of the potential political, economic, and of course, currency ramifications from this election?
I think that if we look at the 2016, Trump policies were more or less what are on tap now, at least as far as the economy and international trade and the currency markets are concerned. Whereas Biden's policies have actually converged from the initial Democrat position that you had with Hillary to that they have been getting closer to Trump's, at least when it comes to the view of tariffs and international trade. So I think in 2016, you saw a sharp rally in the dollar in response to Trump's victory and the expectations of much higher tariffs. I think that in terms of the policies that affect that are likely to affect currency markets directly, there's less of a gap between the two candidates than there was in 2016. I think that with Trump, you're going to have the important a Trump victory would probably be positive for the dollar because it means both harsher tariffs are probably on tap and harsher restrictions on trade versus China, but also a general risk premium because the volatility and the possible dispersion around the range of possible policies would be much, much wider than in the case of Biden, where you would expect mostly a continuation of the status quo, which is very high deficits, no real effort to close the budget deficit in the U.S. Moderate but still rising protectionism and tariffs, and not just tariffs, but interventionism in the in commerce and certain key sectors. Whereas with Trump, you would see a turbocharged version of that. You could probably see a doubling or a tripling of existing tariffs on China, and much more volatility in those relationships, which all of which would probably be a positive for the U.S. dollar. But in terms of the economy, with Congress likely to remain close to gridlocked in either case, budget deficits would remain in essentially autopilot at very high levels. So the recent pressures that the recent economic environment that we've seen of inflationary pressures that are stubborn and do not abate, combined with a full employment economy where increasingly runs into supply constraints and supply shortages, would remain unchanged.
Trump and Biden represent two very different philosophies, but when it comes to the impact on the macroeconomic situation in the US, I don't think it necessarily would be dramatically different looking at the big picture. The fiscal policy would probably remain loose or very loose under both candidates. Growth would probably remain strong. There might be some differences with regards to inflation situation, with probably tariffs from Trump being a factor which could add to inflation, although a possible dollar strengthening could maybe limit the impact of it. And contrary to 2016, I think that right now the attention is not primarily on the domestic situation in the US, but on the global implications of the elections. Because right now we are in a much more difficult place geopolitically. There is a war in Ukraine. There is a war in the Middle East. So we have entered a period which is, I would say, more tricky and requires perhaps a more careful approach to it. And Trump, he is known to be somewhat of a bull in China shop. So in this context, I feel like there are some concerns regarding that. Particularly from my lens, from a European lens, in this election, a lot is at stake for Europe, because we could see some tariffs. There could be a challenge or more difficulties when it comes to relationship with the EU regarding the security situation. And also, in general, I think that when it comes to market impact, markets will see more volatility from Trump presidency, because there would be just much more uncertainty. We could see that from one day to the next, that there is something happening that we didn't expect. And this is something that is much more likely to be the case under Trump. So I think that volatility would be higher, and volatility would get more expensive. The dollar would probably be more expensive, and the euro and the emerging market currencies would likely be pressured down by the selections, particularly currencies in Asia, perhaps Mexican peso, maybe also some currencies in Eastern Europe, in the security context and in the context of being European currencies of European countries. So I think that it's going to be a very interesting race, and a lot is at stake, particularly for Europe.
Well, I think, as you mentioned, that certainly the big event or big event risk is a Trump election victory. I think that there is a general consensus that a Trump presidency would herald greater volatility in financial markets and currencies. This very much America first stance that Trump adopted in his previous presidency and will no doubt adopt again will be a risk, I think, to global growth, the possibility of higher tariffs on every current country, particularly on China, will be a big cause for concern for market participants, and could lead to weaker growth, particularly in Asia. As you mentioned, Roman, I think that there is a risk we see disproportionate downside in Asian FX, like the Mexican peso, for instance, and a stronger dollar, particularly if Trump was to double down on these tariff policies. But certainly that'll be a big risk for markets. We'll certainly be covering the election in a little bit more detail as we get closer to the time. And I'm no doubt we'll see some sort of change and shift in the polls between now and then. I want to move on now and talk about another election. As I mentioned, the UK general election will take place at some stage before the end of January next year, the 28th of January 2025, to be exact. That is the last date at which the UK general election can be held. That's exactly 5 weeks after Parliament is automatically dissolved on the 17th of December. That's 5 years after Parliament first entered the House of Commons after the last general election. We don't know an exact date for the election just yet, but it's reasonable to assume that Rishi Sunak's Tory party will want to wait as long as possible in order to close the gap in the polls, which has opened up into quite a considerable lead for the Labour Party. Indeed, at the time of this recording, Labour are currently polling around about 44% of the popular vote versus only 22% for the Conservatives. Now, one would assume that potentially a good opportunity would be to hold the election in January. We think that's probably a bit unlikely, given that would need campaigning over the Christmas period. While the Tories may also wish to avoid the US election altogether and potentially hold an election slightly sooner, we think October looks like a good month and a good date for the election to be held. What about the outcome? Well, as mentioned, a Labour majority looks highly likely. Indeed, analysis from Electoral Calculus suggests that the Labour Party could win as many as 458 seats, which would signify the largest majority in the House of Commons since the Second World War. So while the outcome of the election is not exactly uncertain, what potentially is uncertain is what kind of policy stance this Labour government will adopt. What do you think, Enrique? What are your thoughts on the UK election and the possibility of a Labour victory? What do you think of the implications of that?
To be honest, I'm not sure the implications would be very massive. And the reason for this is that I think that ever since Truss's disastrous attempt to go back to the supply side fiscal deficit stimulus of 20 years ago, so ever since that backfired, I think that both the Labour and the Conservatives have learned a lesson, and we are unlikely to see any dramatic shift in fiscal policy that is what could impact financial markets and specifically the pound. I think that Bank of England independence in either case, no matter who wins, is pretty much guaranteed. So I wouldn't expect there to be any major changes in the perspective for rate cuts in the UK. So that also wouldn't have an impact. Where I could see some impact is Labour and the Starmer having a friendlier disposition towards the European Union. More cooperative, perhaps, approach to negotiations, definitely not re-entry into the European Union, anything like that, but definitely closer, and we're more likely to see agreement in trade. And I think that the current value of the pound incorporates a significant risk premium because of the fact that the UK is a relatively small economy sandwiched between the UK and the US, and there's some fear as to continuing access to European markets. If labor market removes some of that risk premium, made investors more comfortable with the stability of trade flows and trade relationship in the UK and the Eurozone, it could be a significant positive for the pound, but I do not see any significant changes either in Bank of England policy or in fiscal policy overall. In case of a Labour victory,
yes, I think that's sort of the general consensus we have now. Actually, the recent polls have suggested actually market participants see a Labour government as actually maybe slightly more market friendly than the Conservatives, which in previous elections, that wouldn't have been the case. Certainly, the most recent vote in 2019 under Jeremy Corbyn, the conservative our conservative election victory was very much seen as a more favourable outcome of the election. But I think this sort of shift in political stance that we have seen from Labour, where it's shifted more towards the centre, does work in favour of a more bullish reaction to a Sterling to a Labour victory. And also, as you mentioned, Enrique, the sort of mishandling, or at least perceived mishandling of UK finances from the Conservative Party, particularly following this disastrous mini-budget from Liz Truss's government that led to sky-high bond yields, mortgage rates. I think that actually the reaction in the pound could be slightly more favourable than we would have seen in the past should Labour win a majority. For me, the possible event risk would be actually a Labour coalition, an unlikely event that we see a hung parliament, Labour don't have enough seats for a majority, and maybe need to enter into a coalition. I think that would be really the only sort of risk that we could see and that would impact Sterling to the downside. But at the moment, that looks highly unlikely, at least according to the latest polls. We're going to move on now and finish by touching on another set of elections that are due to take place this year, and that is the European Parliament elections. These elections are scheduled to take place between the 6th and the 9th of June, with 720 seats, that's up from 705, up for grabs in the second largest electorate in the world. And Mark, participants, again, will once again be wary of a political swing to the right, which this year appears an increasingly tangible threat. I'm going to pass over to you now, Roman. Roman, give us a flavour as to what we can expect from these elections and any potential impact that there might be on financial markets or currencies.
So in previous elections in 2019, centrist and left-wing parties, they lost some mandates. There has been a ongoing turn towards more right-wing parties and towards more Euroscepticism and away from parties in the center and also the Greens. And this is going to probably continue, at least judging by the recent polls. So the Grand Coalition of the European People's Party, which is a center-right, and the Progressive Alliance of Socialists and Democrats, they are likely going to continue to see further losses in influence, and Renew Europe, which is a liberal and pro-European group, is awaiting a similar fate, similarly to Greens and European Free Alliance. The parties that are going to gain influence, the groups, are the European Conservatives and Reformists, which are soft Eurosceptics, and also the Identity and Democracy, which are considered to be a party which is between right-wing to a far-right. And those parties are going to see their importance growing. And in this context, we could be seeing some different flavors of discussions in European Parliament. This is one of the most important institutions in the EU. This is the one that the EU citizens have a direct impact on. And given the set of challenges that the EU is facing, which include the competitiveness, loss of competitiveness, the demographic challenges, the energy situation, the green transition, the expansion of the EU, and the security of Europe, those elections in this context, they will play an important role, and as they will, to an extent, impact the approach to these issues. But how could the FX market be impacted? Generally, I would think that the impact on the euro dollar should be far less significant compared to the US elections. Historically, these elections have often been overlooked by market participants. Although the stakes right now are higher and divisions are more clear, so there is a higher chance that we could see some reaction, particularly if there is a strong showing for the Eurosceptic parties.
And that's it from us. If you're keen to hear more about our thoughts on the FX market, visit eBrief's website or follow us on social media. And don't forget to rate and review the podcast on your favourite podcast app. And let us know if there are any topics you'd like to hear more on during upcoming episodes. Keep an eye out for our next episode in a fortnight's time. Thank you all very much for listening.